I'm pleased to have Derek Healy. Hello, Derek.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning, Derek. First of all, tell me what you went through when this dramatic news broke after 6 o'clock last night.
Well, it was certainly dramatic. I personally was on my way out the door after a full day of work. I was about to head off to the cinema, actually, and then this news broke. And suddenly we were on resignation watch, having to keep an eye out and see if any other serious cabinet members or senior Tories were going to step down. We had, you know, as a prime minister going to step down? Are we going to have a general election called? Suddenly it all became very, very serious indeed. So it was back to battle stations and see what happens. Even late last night, heading into, you know, our papers being sent off to print, I think we were still wondering if we were going to get some late breaking news. And of course, I've seen just early this morning, there's been a whole new raft of resignations coming through.
Yeah, so obviously things did take a temporary pause overnight, but then now, as you've just said, more resignations have happened. So this episode's just not got a conclusion at this stage.
No, not yet. And I think it's interesting because I was just seeing there's some reports that the rules could be rewritten as soon as today, possibly. That's what the rebels are pushing for, to try and force the Prime Minister to face another confidence vote. We know that when a Prime Minister faces a confidence vote, usually that means they're safe from having to do that again for another year. But I think such is the temperature and the heat within the Conservative Party at the moment that some are keen to change those rules for Boris Johnson. I think with any other Prime Minister, usually having your Chancellor and the Health Secretary resign within minutes of each other would be, you know, a fatal blow for anyone, really. But in this case, that's not happened. You've got a Prime Minister who looks set to try and carry on regardless. So it'll be on, it looks like it's going to be on, you know, other ministers who have seen resign this morning, other senior figures, to decide the Prime Minister's fate.
Do you think Nadeem Zahawi made a big mistake taking on the role as Chancellor?
Well, so what I've heard is that that's always been his goal, and that has been his kind of life's work in politics, is to get that position. And I think for him, he's had a good look at the situation and thought, you know, there's a way here for me to progress my career. I think there was kind of radio silence from him for a good period of time. We've seen some reports, I should say right off the bat, that these have been denied this morning by Nadeem Zahawi. He said this is not what happened, but there was talk of whether Liz Truss was the favourite to get that Chancellor's job, but that he went in and basically said, if you don't give me the gig, I'm going to resign. Again, he said that's not the case, but I think that kind of chatter we're seeing kind of just signals the sort of power that a senior minister had last night. You know, if you stay on, there's potentially some very cushy jobs on the line. We know that the new health secretary is kind of a very close ally of Boris Johnson as well. So for him, I think he'll be looking around him and seeing who can I trust, who can I rely on. And that's played a big role in this, I think, as well.
Yeah, I just asked that previous question because when he was obviously in Downing Street last night, Nadeem Zahawi, I was thinking, if he went and Liz Truss went as well, then the situation you and I and the whole nation would be in this morning could have been even more severe than it was. Because although Boris Johnson lost two very key politicians from cabinet last night, it just feels now in the context of things that just wasn't enough to give Boris the strongest enough signal that it was time for him to resign.
Well, it's interesting because what would be? I mean, I think, again, the received wisdom would be, I can't think of any previous Prime Minister who, having the Chancellor and the Health Secretary go, that wouldn't be the end. I mean, I think that's a signal that it's time to move on. I mean, I think any other Prime Minister would have probably taken that signal. It's difficult to know what more it would have taken for Boris Johnson to say last night that it's over. You know, they clearly move to get people into those positions as quickly as possible. And the difficulty is going to be this morning. I think we're now up to about 15 resignations since last night. They also had the party chairman to replace. You know, you've got a new education secretary in position, but I think it's now two out of the four junior ministers in that department have resigned today. So it's going to be far more difficult to kind of fill all those positions. But as long as he keeps on doing it, I mean, he's got a big majority. You know, it's up to him how much pressure he can take. Or do we see that route of them pushing for another confidence vote? And is that how we see this kind of car crash run of Boris Johnson come to an end?
What do you think this all means for the union?
Well, you know, it's an interesting question because I think in terms of independence, Boris Johnson has been a fantastic recruiting sergeant for the SNP and for the independence cause. He is uniquely unpopular in Scotland. And I think that people who are keen to see independence get over the line may well look back at this and wonder and ponder whether this has been a missed opportunity. Will there ever again be a Prime Minister as unpopular in Scotland as Boris Johnson? I'm not so sure that's going to come around soon. If, you know, there's a general election, if Labour squeak in and you have Keir Starmer or some other figure there as Prime Minister, would it take a lot of the heat out of that debate? It's difficult to say. I mean, at the same time, Boris Johnson has been really strong in saying absolutely no way to another independence referendum. Would somebody else coming in be more open to that or take a different view? I think we need to wait and see. But I think Boris Johnson going probably wouldn't be good news for the SNP in terms of the push for independence.
Interesting. Final question for me, it's the big question of this interview. How long are you giving Boris Johnson in terms of how long he has left at number 10 Downing Street?
You know, usually I would do my very best to answer that question because I hate a non-committal answer, but it's so difficult to tell right now. Today it looks so difficult for Boris Johnson. He's going to have Prime Minister's questions this afternoon, which you'd expect would be absolutely bruising. There's clearly been an orchestrated effort to have people resign before that happens, so it's even more difficult for him. Then he's at the liaison committee this afternoon. That's going to be horrendous for him. We could potentially see some more big figures leaving throughout the day. I think in his mind, he'll be thinking, well, I can survive today and I can get to the end of the week. We're only, you know, a few weeks away now from the summer recess. During that time, you're going to have people pushing very, very hard. These rebels are going to push very hard to try and get rid of him. But if he makes it to the summer recess, he's kind of clear until September. And that's an opportunity for him to regroup, to think again, to build a bit of confidence back into his cabinet. So it's really difficult to say. You think that if he's going to go, it's going to be sooner rather than later. If he manages to hang on in there, then we could be on for a while yet.
Time will tell. Time will tell. Derek, enjoyed chatting with you once again. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.